Welcome to the Screamcast, episode 83. I am Sean DeRager, and with me is Brad Henderson.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Brad. BJ couldn't join us today. She had some things to take care of, so she should be back next time. But
sure hope so.
I know. Hey, Stuff happens. We had a packed show, so we couldn't really postpone anything because of that. Plus, Brad is busy as a motherfucker. So
yeah.
So we got a fantastic show lined up today, I believe. We're going to be talking about three recent Vinegar Syndrome / Exploitation TV releases, Spy Numbers 3, 4, and 5, Nightmare Weekend.
If you flip them over on the reverse, are they're 90, 94, and 95.
Nice. Awesome.
Because they skip, through rights issues, they have to have the exploitation TV, but if you flip it with the other cover art, it will those remaining numbers.
For Vinegar Syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Gotcha. That's okay. Cool. We're going to be talking Nightmare Weekend, Frightmare, and Demonoid in just a little bit. But before that, Brad, you were at a convention of sorts.
I attended Spooky Empire. Spooky Empire is two times a year. One is Spooky Empire in October. The other one is known as Mayhem, but it's still Spooky Empire. It's pretty much the same exact same exact convention. It's just one's kind of smaller than the other. Spooky's the bigger one. So this year, there's quite a few guests. I mean, George Romero, Tom Savini, Bill Moseley, Danny Trejo, Pat Priest from, you know, the Munsters, who played Marilyn, the Shining Twins, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory Kids, Neve Campbell, Skeet Ulrich, Matthew Lillard, just a whole barrage of people, which is always cool to walk around. I'm not a big autograph person. I just kind of want to go up and shake your hand or, you know, say hi.
You don't want anyone to sign your boob?
Nope. this is actually the bigger year for Spooky because the normal hotel that they usually present the festival, I guess not a festival, convention at, it's a very small to what they need nowadays because they've gotten so big. Spooky's one of the bigger ones in the United States. I think Texas Frightmare is probably the biggest. Cinema Wasteland in Ohio is pretty large. So it's kind of cool. It's a new venue this time. Very, very spacious, which I also think hurt the convention a little bit because there was just way too much room to, like, peruse and walk around. So, like, you felt, like, really separated. It was really hard to find people. You know, they have the vendor room, of course. They have a tattoo room. They have an author room. They, you know, actually had a film festival during this one. So it was very nice in that sense. The only thing I did not care for was they did get a bigger vendor room, but the vendor tables were very small, which was a little annoying because there wasn't a lot of room to move around, and I always felt like I was in the way. Right. So that's one thing I think they can improve on is definitely the vendor room. Vendors all over kind of the country come, even some like out of the country. Because one year there was like Arrow wasn't there, but it was a guy that had like a ton of like UK Blu-rays and like DVDs. He owned some shop in the UK and he just decided to come over and set up a table. And he basically sold out all his shit, which was really cool. Vinegar Syndrome was there. Mike from Grindhouse Video was there. Our friends at Coffee Shop of Horrors were there. Those are kind of the norm. This is Mike's first time from Grindhouse Video, and he did very well. So, definitely, be attending next time. I hung out with the Vinegar Syndrome guys a little bit. That was an experience for sure. Because it made me, because I kind of, told them to come to this convention because they asked me, what do you think are some of the better ones? So I told him a list, and I said, I think you should really try Spooky Empire due to the fact that there's not a lot of physical media vendors there. The ones that are there, they're usually bootleggers.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, as far as physical, you know, authentic physical media, it's very small. So Mike and Vinegar Syndrome was there. Unearthed Films were there. There's another guy that was selling, you know, legit stuff. But for the most part, the rest were bootleggers. But it was just funny sitting at the table with Vinegar Syndrome, watching people come up. And it was kind of, you know, disappointing in a way to see how many people didn't know who they were or what they were doing. Even though they have, like, in the front row, they had, you know, Madman, they had Christmas Evil, you know, they had Don't Go to the Woods. You had so many people come up and say, hey, do you have Walking Dead Blu-rays? I saw two people ask for Resident Evil DVDs. And it's like, you know, it's not that.
Well,
like,
they probably just thought it was like a store, you know what I mean? Just like
right,
that.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
But it was
but
like.
Still, come on, people.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, I don't, you know, rag on them for coming up and asking for something else because obviously they probably don't know the label. But you're asking for those movies at, like, something so special like this where people, like, they don't bring those things. They bring the more obscure or, you know, kind of harder to find stuff.
Yeah,
or,
you can find that
you
shit
know,
in Walmart.
Right, you know, not the $5 Walmart bin. You know, one kid said, I don't want the Resident Evil Blu-ray, I want the DVD. Like, this is – you came to Spooky Empire to look for a Resident Evil DVD? Like, you know, it was just kind of, you know, shocking. Which, you know, it's some of these conventions, they have you know, it's kind of unique in kind of a different standpoint. If you look at it, is a lot of the people that come don't know old horror. They only know new horror, and the new horror that they're familiar with is like American Horror Story, Walking Dead, you know, and stuff that's on television.
What was kind of the age range, would you say, the average age range that you can gather?
I would say most people were in their 30s and 40s.
Okay, all right.
But, I mean, it's all ages. I mean, little kids come. I mean, there is, you know, some older gentlemen, some, like, really older gentlemen. Mostly no females, surprisingly. Like, well, older females. I mean, there's plenty of females, you know, which is really awesome as well. But it was just – it's kind of unique to watch that how many people are here because they know, like, the whole era of horror versus I just watch Walking Dead on television. You know, it's kind of hard to balance because you see a lot of those people.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool because it molds – you know, the people that are really into horror that aren't really into, like, the new stuff that's coming about, it kind of pushes them with it, but also pushes, like, these people that are just, like, oh, the only horror things I know is Walking Dead and, you know, what's on television. But they're also pushing this whole other, you know, realm of just these obscurities and stuff like that. So I think conventions are useful in that sense to try to, you know, turn on new fans, to turn on old fans, to, you know, new things or old things, vice versa. It works. I think it works both ways. So
yeah,
it's a pretty cool experience.
You have Walking Dead and that stuff, a bunch of shit. But I mean, in many ways, it's almost a gateway drug.
Yeah.
You know, to other things and things.
I completely agree. I mean, I'm not a Walking Dead fan by any means, but you know, I'm so proud that there is a horror, I mean, even though they don't like to call it a horror TV show, which is crazy to call it a drama, but it's a horror TV show. A horror TV show is syndicated that you know that much, and people love it.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of people that love a zombie TV show is fucking great. You know, the same thing with American Horror Story. I don't watch that either. But just to watch people like go apeshit over a horror TV show, that's really fucking cool. You know, it might not be my bag, but man, that's something saying for the, you know, what's going to happen in a couple years to the horror industry. You know, hopefully this pushes movies along a little bit. People can get into horror films, you know, at the theater now. Because, I mean, it's kind of died out a little bit. So hopefully, you know, like TV shows like that kind of move people along and kind of make people aware that horror still exists. You know, it's just not Walking Dead and American Horror Story. There's a lot of other stuff you can venture out to see, but I think it's a good little push in that direction.
Cool, man. I need to make it out to conventions. I'm hoping once my youngest is a little older, it'll be a little more freeing for me to head out up to L.A., you know, to, I know there's a couple up there that I'm aware of that I need to make it out to those for sure. So, yeah.
So
we'll try to ramp that up.
Ramp it up.
Speaking of, you mentioned the coffee shop of horror people over there. I mean, I would have went to town and bought as much coffee as I possibly could.
Yeah. I bought some coffee when I was there. They got a couple new flavors I'm going to try, but it's pretty fucking sweet.
I placed an order. There was like one, I can't remember the name. It was, it looked really good, but anyway, are you drinking any right now? I brewed some up for the
show. Yeah. So. So sometimes it depends. Like sometimes I kind of just go with the norm, you know, just with like the normal roast, but I got, Burial Grounds, which is just a kind of a dark roast.
Yeah.
You know, like black coffee. I'm getting to the point where, cause I was always like kind of a cream and sugar guy.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I liked coffee with my cream and sugar rather than, you know, the other way. But I think with the flavors and stuff, it's actually turning me on more because now, you know, the creamer kind of covers up the taste. And, you know, coffee, I think, smells great. But with this kind of stuff, it really is rich. It smells really good. So, yeah, this is cool. Burial Grounds. So I'm going to take a sip right now.
I got something called Snoot Dank Beans. It's a Costa Rican Terrazu. I don't know. It's really good. Snoot Dank Beans. It looks like they did it for, there's a band called Snoot, and it's a guy and a gal, and it looks like
I don't know that one.
They did little kind of zombie-ish renditions of the two artists, so a little partnership with them. Pretty fun. Mm. I mean, it's fun. It just makes it makes me my morning coffee a little more fun. I don't know. I look forward to it. I seriously have not really bought. I haven't bought any other coffee other than Coffee Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, I used to do the Cafe Bustolo. That's what I used to do all the time. But for the most part, this is all I have. Mainly because I have like a million bags of it. You know, I need to get rid of it. But you know, it's really good coffee. I will give it that. You know, and they have a unique business with how long, you know, because everything that they brew and their beans, like when they sell it, like nothing's over like 30 days old.
Yeah. Yes. Super, you know, fresh.
Which is cool. And, you know, they do the whole beans, which you grind up yourself. But the whole beans last longer. You know, if you grind it up, it loses its flavor and, you know, its smell. And, you know, it's really good. And there's, you know, if you go on their website, I'm sure you can read a lot about it. You know, they're always promoting that stuff, you know, at the convention that, you know, there's no chemicals, it's all natural oils and all that kind of stuff. So if you're like allergic to certain shit when you drink coffee, then maybe you need to look into this. But, if you drink it and you actually listen to the show and you have picked up on it, let us know. Cause I would like to know, what you guys like? Because I honestly don't have the time to try each one. I do like the White Russian though. That's another favorite one.
It's so good. Every time that I order a new bag of coffee, order about three. I always do two standbys that I really like, and then I try one new one.
Yeah.
And of course they'll send us samples here and there. So
Noah's talking in the background.
Yeah.
What up, Noah? What up, Noah?
Yeah, Noah has joined the show.
Sweet.
Cool, man. I really would like to meet them one of these days. We should probably have them on the show at some point.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah, no, they have, keep a lookout because there is I didn't tell you this yet, Sean. I can't say it cause I don't think they've announced it yet. but they told me in, confidentiality. So hopefully when they hear the show, they're like, man, Brad's such a stand up guy. He didn't spoil that news. but they have this huge fucking collaboration going on with something with them, and it's going to blow up. It's going to be pretty cool. So keep an eye out for that announcement with them.
Nice.
But other than that, yeah, go to your local horror convention. Let us know how it is, you know. Yeah. They're all over the place. Some are bigger than others. Some are smaller. you know, but it's all cool. You know, it's a bunch of people, you know, you're in like my hometown. There's no one I can relate with pretty much with horror films other than a couple friends here or there. So, you know, it's a place where you can go and you just can, you know, who gives a fuck? You can just be yourself. So it's a kind of a cool place to go if you want to, you know, just, you know, chill out on horror and talk about it and
yeah,
walk around and see fucking some awesome cosplay and some really awful cosplay and, you know, 50 million Harley Quinns and 50 million Jokers.
Did you see any new Jokers from the Suicide Squad this time around?
Yeah, dude, people were trying so hard and it looked really bad. I mean, you know, it's one of the, I like to see people get creative. I really do. Like, there's some really cool fucking cosplay every once in a while. But for the most part, you could only see so many Harley Quinns. It was kind of ridiculous how many Harley Quinns there were.
Harley Quinn is the go-to sexy superhero-ish type costume that, you know, is always seems to be a go-to. Harley Quinn or just the basic sexy cat or Catwoman?
Yeah, not too many Catwomen. No? Just a lot of Jokers and you know, and a lot of Freddy Kruegers, and a lot of sexy Freddy Kruegers too. So,
really?
Yeah,
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Some really bad. There's like one really badass Jason, and there was one that was dressed up as the old Nintendo game Jason.
That's awesome.
And, like with the like the bright blue like neon mask, like yeah, the purple outfit.
That's hilarious.
It was pretty cool. So yeah. Very but anyways, cool. Yeah, go to your local one. Let us know how it is.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your guys' convention stories and see pictures and all that stuff. Well, very cool. Let's jump into our What's on Your Doorstep segment.
Holy cow, I almost forgot.
We'll get the door.
Sweet, I'm gonna go first. I have nothing, so there you go.
That's total bullshit. You got nothing?
I really have nothing, man.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Dude, I've like.
I guess you're at the convention.
I can't,
thing, man.
I can't speak on behalf of some of the things I'm doing, but like I'm like way too busy. Like, you know, I watch the stuff we're supposed to make sure I get that in.
Yeah.
And you know, I watch stuff with like Willow. You know? But for the most part, I'm not really watching anything by myself right now.
Well, cool. Well, I'm excited to get to these three movies to talk about. But my What's on Your Doorstep's pretty. It's all right. I wanted to bring up. Have you heard of Horror Box or what are they called?
Yeah, Horror Box.
Hold on.
You mean like Horror Block?
No.
Or are you
talking about
Horror Box with the DVDs and Blu-rays?
The DVDs and Blu-rays Horror Box.
Yeah,
they sent me a box. They had shot me an email and wanted me to mention, you know, give them a try and mention them on the show. So I got the DVD box. I should have specified I would want a Blu-ray box because
you don't like Blu-rays. You don't like DVDs at all.
But
because that makes the movies bad.
No. There's actually two on here. I'm either terrified to watch because they're probably going to be horrible, but I'm also intrigued.
What are they?
I mean, it's a cool idea. Like, I like the idea. I think that it would be better if they were trying to go for more maybe obscure titles. Because the first one I opened up is like The Orphanage. It's like, well, I've owned The Orphanage forever. I think most seasoned horror people may own The Orphanage. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure, like, their target. Like, are they trying to go to people trying to build their horror collections? Or
hey, there's a lot of – but, yeah, I mean, just because you and a lot of people –
I know.
The majority of people probably haven't, you know, that's why you have to look at it.
Yeah. But I mean,
it'd be stupid if like you maybe gave The Shining or The Halloween, would be a little stupid, but I think The Orphanage is a safe pick.
Cool. And that's the thing, like these, like the ones that I already own, like, you know, would be great giveaways and things like that to people who haven't seen them. The next one in this month's box was The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which I'm actually a huge fan of that flick. So, but, then there was two that I hadn't heard of. And hadn't seen.
Okay.
And the first one is a Malcolm McDowell movie called The Barber.
Ooh, The Barber's actually pretty okay.
Is it? It's directed by Michael Baforo.
I don't know who that is, but The Barber's not that bad.
Okay.
It's weird.
You know, it's Malcolm McDowell, The Barber, and I was like, all right, cool. Like, you know, because I I think it's pretty cheap per month too. It's like $20 a month or something like that. It's pretty reasonable for the DVD. I think the Blu-ray might be a little bit more, but so to get this, I was like, all right, that's cool. And then the other one I got, which I don't know if I'll ever watch this, but it's called Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Wow, I don't know. No words.
No idea. Starring Roddy Piper, the late Roddy Piper, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Matt Hardy, and Kurt Angle.
Nope.
And it's
that's
probably
for your wrestling
probably
fans right
pretty
there.
Damn awful.
Yeah.
But you know, this was their first box, I think.
Yeah. No, so, I think it's, but that's the thing is like, you know, you can't be pretentious when you're building those boxes and putting them together.
Right.
You want to sort it out. So they have a well-known movie. They have a super weird, you know, movie. They have a wrestling horror movie. And what was the other one?
Wait,
what'd you say? The Orphanage, The Barber.
Orphanage, and Exorcism of Emily Rose, which that one is actually one that
at the theaters, like, you know, everywhere.
Yeah, but I think that one got overlooked or something. I don't know.
You have a mainstream movie like that. You have, you know, a foreign horror film. You have a super weird indie, and then you have kind of probably this like shot on video, like weird wrestling pro. I think that's a pretty derivative like box. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to probably sign up for the Blu-ray one and see how that is next month and just give it a whirl for a few months. And,
yeah,
you know, that's the thing. Like any doubles I can always sell off or give away. And it's you know, I like the idea of these box things, but I haven't really wanted to subscribe for one that's a bunch of knickknacks and stuff because, I mean, the horror block or whatever, like half the stuff
is just going to be junk that fills up
in my office. You know.
Right. It's like if you're into collectibles, I mean, I've looked at that countless times. I'm like, oh, man, that'd be cool to get. But like, where the fuck am I going to put toys?
Yeah.
And, you know, like the T-shirts, they're like super cool. But like, am I going to wear that in public? You know, like maybe, probably not. But
so it's cool. I mean, I really dig the idea. And I wish all the guys the best luck. So I'm going to keep the communication going with them. And see what kind of options they can have, or if we can partner up with them somehow, or I don't know. But it was cool for them. Very nice of them to send me a box. So very grateful to them. So next up, I've been for the past few weeks whenever I have a chance to like get on the elliptical or whatever, I've been going through the Blu-ray Crystal Lake Memories, at like 6 hour documentary.
Whoa!
That highlights all the Friday the 13th movies. It's they did a documentary called His Name Was Jason. Was that the name of the documentary?
That's its name.
So this is basically an expanded version of that because it's the same filmmakers and it's using a lot of the same interviews, but then they expand it.
Yeah, that's the reason why I never got it. I didn't know it was 6 hours because I thought it was the thing that I saw. So I was like, okay.
No, man, it's this thing.
Well, because it was like I saw that and then it was coming out on Blu-ray. I was like, well, how late is that? Like 3 or 4 years? But okay, it's something different.
Yep. So it's, man, if you're a Friday the 13th fan, like that's the thing. Like people complained about that Friday the 13th box set, about it being bare, you know, nothing really new. Well, shit, you have this 6 hour documentary. What more do you need? You know, this thing is so comprehensive through each of the films. It's a lot of fun. The interviews are great. They use a ton of clips from the movies. They use a lot of stuff that had hit the cutting room floor as far as the extra gore stuff. So you get to see some of the extended scenes, and the gore gags and stuff that were cut out of the film and reasons why things were cut. And it's just a lot of fun, man. I'm having a hell of a time going through that thing. And just a blast. Like I'm like on the elliptical watching it, big old grin on my face just watching this thing. So I know it was out of print for a while.
I'm gonna watch porn.
It was out of print for a while and like super expensive, but it is like they did a reprint, so it should be pretty cheap now. So if you haven't grabbed it, I would say definitely check it out. And then if you haven't grabbed Never Sleep Again, you know, awesome set. But I haven't upgraded to Blu-ray on Never Sleep Again because I already had the DVD. So it's one of the things I decided not to upgrade on, Brad. So see, I don't hate all DVDs.
Okay, so one.
Cool. One. Next up, I bought the digital version of Turbo Kid. And that movie, you've talked about the movie. You saw it in the theater. I would have loved to see this thing on a big screen. But if you haven't seen it, you know, check it out. You can rent it. You can buy it digitally. It's going to get a Blu-ray, I think. I'm not sure if it's later this year or early next year. I know that they are working on a U.S. Blu-ray. And there is a U.K. Blu-ray out right now. But if you want the Blu-ray, hold off. Be patient. You'll get a U.S. version, a U.S. one. But this flick is so fun. Like, it's another example of kind of a nostalgic take on a film, taking a modern-made film but making it retro in a way. But they did it super smart, where there's not a bunch of winks and nods. It's a movie that could very well have existed in 1986, you know? The feel of it, but it also feels timeless in a way. And the gore gags are just hilarious. They do the whole, you know, the whole Japanese samurai-type gore where blood just splurts everywhere. But it was good, man. The lead actor is really fantastic. The girl who plays the blonde girl, what's her name?
She plays Apple.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's super cute.
The characters really draw you in, and the lead and the girl who plays Apple. Apologize, I don't have their cast. Lawrence LaBeouf plays Apple, and Monroe Chambers is the kid. And of course Michael Ironside plays an awesome badass bad guy.
Yeah, I just like Skeletron.
That guy, the guy with the skull mask?
Yeah.
That dude is so badass. He doesn't say a word, and he is menacing and crazy. And this is probably one of my favorite movies this year that I've seen. This is, like, this and Deathgasm for sure are like movies that I felt were made just for me. So,
yeah.
Check out Turbo Kid. I know you guys have probably heard a lot of people talking about it, but I finally got around to seeing it, and definitely watch it. And finally, I rented Tales of Halloween. So I know BJ's talked about it, you know, you've talked about it, and so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's funny because everyone that I talked to about the film, like, everyone liked different segments of the film. Like, it's, you know, I shot out kind of my list of the best, worst, and the meh of the 10 shorts, and one of our listeners, like, the list was complete opposite of what he would have picked. Yeah. So, now who's our listener? He only goes by CR on Twitter, Wolverine Factor, which is, by the way, he did mention he's another one of our gay listeners. And he was sad that he didn't get a shout out last week.
That was the thing. Is like, I actually there's somebody else is like, hey man, I'm you know, I'm gay too, and I was like, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But like, I wasn't gonna go around
ousting, this isn't the time to just
ousting our gay call everyone and be like, hey, guess this person's guy. I was like, no, I'm not gonna do anything like that. You know, people that I know that were like super open about it, because he was just like, you know, he made the comment, I was down because I like dick too.
Right. No, that's him. That's Wolverine Factor. Yep.
So yeah, it's kind of funny. Shout out to being gay. Hooray.
But he liked the exact opposite of the ones that I like. So it's just. This is why these anthology films are so fun, and this will probably be another Halloween tradition. I'll probably throw this on and watch it again. But the ones I really loved were Sweet Tooth, The Weak and the Wicked, Grim, a Grinning Ghost, The Ransom of Rusty Rex, and friggin' Bad Seed, The Killer Pumpkin. Like, those were my ones that I loved. So I couldn't tell you who did what. I know Paul Solette, which one did he do?
I don't know.
Was it The Weak and the Wicked?
Yeah, I didn't like that one at all.
Really? Gosh, I liked it. I don't know.
Which one was that?
That was the one where the guy was summoned a demon to the people that like picked on him or whatever. Or actually, there's a little twist to it, but he summons a demon. The demon didn't look very good, but I liked going up to them, like the girl and the bad girl, and I liked most of it. But the best one for sure was the Killer Pumpkin one. That one I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah, I like that one and Sweet Tooth.
Yeah. So anyway, Tales of Halloween. I welcome more Halloween anthologies Give us one or two a year every October. I'll be happy. You know?
Good. It's all about making you happy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Cool.
Anyway, that's what's on my doorstep. And you had nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into these three movies here. Which, should we cover them in order of spine number?
What do you think? Dude, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, we'll talk about whatever. You pick. This is a hell of a, like, a three
oh
movie
my God,
night.
Man.
Like, if you watch all three of these in one night, like, you might be a fucking awesome person.
That's pretty much what I did. I watched half of one on Friday, then over the weekend, I couldn't watch it, and then last night, man, I watched the last half of this one, then the other two, and it was a blast. It was so fun. I don't care. We don't have to do it by spine number, but
just pick one.
But the first one I watched was Demonoid.
Created by Satan to prey on the living, it feeds on your most hidden desires and secret fears. It's been dormant for centuries. But now, its time has come again. Demonoid, messenger of death. A warning for those who believe. Eternal damnation for those who don't. Demonoid, is it the last of its kind? Or the first of many to come? By the time you discover the answer, it may already be too late. Demonoid, starring Samantha Egger.
Name of God, don't do it.
Stuart Whitman.
Death is deliverance.
Why must they kill what's already dead? Demonoid, messenger of death.
All right, let's talk about Demonoid.
Demonoid, this is a 1980 flick about a killer killer hand.
Well, it's like these people are there in Mexico, right? And
yeah.
It's like a woman and then her husband go down because all these Mexican workers are scared to go down there because of this legend, I guess, that he's being spread around. So they go down there and they have this awful sequence of him going down through quicksand, but it's not quicksand. It's just when he shoves that ladder up through the hole of where he came down through quicksand.
Right.
Logistically doesn't make
that
any
doesn't
sense
work.
Whatsoever.
It doesn't work at all.
So anyways, they go down to this hole and then, he's an idiot. So he starts like setting fires like in the oil pits. And then they find this, and he sees like a relic, but he like picks it up like it's a fucking candy bar and starts tossing it around. But it's this hand that's enclosed and kind of in this case. And through a couple scenes later, it is opened up and there's dust, but that obviously releases this one hand that's the one thing is they never went into good detail of what the fuck is going on.
It's just like, this freaking
why is it after her? Yeah, why is it after her? And what the fuck happened? Like, why is there a hand? Like, can you give me some kind of exposition? Just say, oh, it's the devil's hand.
I
would have been cool, but they really don't like go in any detail. It seems
not really
about where this hand comes from or why it wants her.
Right. I mean, all you get is this opening scene with this, like, you know, they tie this woman up, they rip off her shirt, titties in the first minute, people.
Whoa.
but that's really the only exposition you have is that through some weird, you know, curse or something, this hand's killing everyone. But yeah, they'd give no, there's no, like, they don't give any backstory to it at all.
No. I mean, what we have here is a really fucking crazy killer hand movie. But, you know, it's fun in the sense of, like, you know, also we look at it as, now did you watch the short cut or did you watch the long cut?
I watched Demonoid, the one that's on the Blu-ray. I know that there's another cut,
Macabre.
Macabre. That's on a DVD.
Yeah,
I didn't watch that, no.
See, I put in the Blu-ray to see, and this shows you like how well these movies are, restored, is that it really doesn't look that much different. So I popped in the Blu-ray to watch that a little bit, and then I popped in the DVD because it's, an extra 10 minutes, but the fucking gore is fucking killer in Macabre. Like, the gore scenes are extended. There's like a fucking, when the black guy gets attacked and the hand like crushes his skull?
Yeah.
Well, in Macabre, he fucking crushes his skull. It's pretty sweet. And then when you're going to remove my hand or I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yes.
It's like, what? This guy's having this operation, having his hand removed. The doctor's at gunpoint. So this guy can have his hand chopped off.
That's not, again, like, what was, did he know he was possessed? Or
see, that's the thing. Was it like, trying they never to get go away into from detail.
Him? I don't know.
Like, certain people that they actually have the curse.
Yeah.
But then they're like, I'm going to keep it and kill you. But other people are like, yo, I don't want it. Chop off my hand. And it's like, you really have no clue what's going on. But I think that's kind of the appeal to it, is that you don't have to sit down and worry about exposition. You just get to watch this really bizarro horror film with actually great hand effects.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Like the editing in this movie, when the hand attacks people, because obviously you have a guy using a hand, you also have a fake rubber hand, and you have a lot of scenes where just like they're operating to the point where there's a guy like under something and his hand is popping out, moving around.
Yeah.
But the editing between all the ones, like the hand flying across the room, grabbing somebody's face, like the editing is really well done in this movie, and it's kind of an oddball thing to pinpoint of something so cheap and silly, where it seemed like that was the main focus, is like whatever we have to do, the editing has to be superb on the hand attacks, and it is, but it's so funny because I was thinking about, I always, when I watch movies, sometimes I try to think of like a good, like a double feature. So I thought of a triple feature of this one. You could do the severed arm, you could do Demonoid, and then you could do the Michael Caine movie, The Hand.
Oh, nice.
Which this is very similar to The Hand. So now I'm like wondering if fucking, who did that? Oliver Stone? Oliver Stone did a horror film back in the day called The Hand. I think it's Oliver Stone. So, like, it's very much kind of somewhat similar at times, which I thought was shocking. It's been a long time since I've seen Demonoid. So that's the reason why I didn't watch the Blu-ray, is because, I had that on VHS for the longest time. I never saw Macabre, so
okay,
I wanted to see that. Because I always heard about the extended gore scenes. But the opening isn't in the movie.
It's the opening's not on the DVD.
No, it's Macabre. I think that's the cut. Did I watch that part? See, I skipped like halfway through. I can't remember because I think when it started, I don't remember like seeing it at first. But I hit skip to get to the same point because I wasn't going to watch the movie twice. It's not that fucking good,
right?
So yeah, I'd have to check.
You know what's amazing in this film?
And I don't remember.
Is that Samantha Eggers in it. And she's in The Brood. In 1979, she's in The Brood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
she's a popular actress.
Yeah, so she goes from The Brood, 1979, this really fantastic Cronenberg flick, to to Demonoid. It's just it's so funny seeing...
Demonoid, Messenger of Death, by the way, which I don't know if that's a play on... kind of The Hand,
I guess. I think what I was reading something, and I'm not sure if this is 100% true or not, but apparently there's another movie called Demonoid as well. I think I don't know. There's something they had to add that Messenger of Death for some reason.
The Hand is the Messenger of Death.
Yes, because like, it wants to kill it's, her.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like the whole time I'm puzzled of why this hand wants this woman. I just, it's such a...
if any of you know, Let us know. Drop us a line. Read.
And what's up with the ripoff of the Italian Incredible Melting Man soundtrack?
Is that what that was?
Yeah, for the most part, when the computer noises happen and the sci-fi music, it's like a spin on Incredible Melting Man.
In Demonoid? The soundtrack's very – well, see, we're talking about two different cuts because the Macabre, they probably had to do that because it was longer. But in Demonoid, the score I thought was actually pretty damn good.
Well, dude, the score, it also has that it has a nanny nanny boo boo sound. Did you keep hearing that?
I don't know if they added that in.
That's what it kept doing.
Dude, I'm wondering if that was specific to Macabre.
No. This was on the Blu-ray that I watched. Okay. Whenever the cop interacts with the guy that gets out of the ground and then chops off his arm in the car door. Like, when he's doing that, you hear, the nanny nanny boo-boo. It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do. And it's like, what is happening
here? That's hilarious.
That's another fun thing about this movie is watch how people chop off their hand. all the unique ways they come up with, how the fuck am I going to get my hand off?
The surgery by gunpoint has to take the cake as far as the best one. The other one when the doctor apparently has taken the hand and he's gonna for some reason he's knocked out the girl and he's like, I don't know if he was about to remove his hand as well so the hand can go to her.
Wait, are you talking about the doctor after the fact?
Yeah, because
the cops on the train.
The priest busts in on him and the girl.
Yeah, and then it goes to the doctor and the doctor runs with it.
Right.
So yeah, it's one of those things where it's just a scenario of somebody having the hand power. Like, there's no exposition or anything like that. It's just one scene right after the other. Who has the hand? Demonic hand.
Right. Yeah. Apparently, that's the only way they can save themselves from the hand is to cut it off. Apparently, but yeah, there's no set rules because some people don't or they get possessed by the hand. It's a fun movie, man. I had a lot of fun with this. It never really slows down. It's 1981. It feels almost closer to a 1970s film a little bit, but
yeah. It's also the director of The Bees, which is also coming out from
Attack of the Killer Bees.
Banner Syndrome. No, just The Bees.
The Bees. Who's releasing that?
Vinegar Syndrome.
I thought they were doing Attack of the Killer Bees.
I thought they were doing The Bees.
No.
It's the same. It's the same director.
I don't know.
Could be. I'm usually not wrong, so we'll see. funny.
Well, there's so many bees. There's so many movies about bees. There's quite a few.
Funny story about this one. We're at the convention, I was walking around and, Vinegar Syndrome was like, hey, have you seen the bootleggers around? I'm like, yeah. They're like, hey, we saw a Demonoid on the bootleggers table. So they went up to him and they're like, hey, man, it's like cool DVD. He's like, yeah, thanks. He's like, what was the source material you used for that? And he's like, VHS. And they're like, oh yeah, well we just restored it and bought the rights and released it. So that's that's what we did. And the guy slowly picks it up and he's like, okay, I don't want any trouble. And he tosses it in a box underneath the table.
Nice.
It's fucking hilarious.
By the way, you are right about The Bees. It is The Bees, 1978, that they are releasing.
So sweet, that comes out soon. So yeah, they probably did a deal with the director or something like that.
Totally
probably
punk.
Owns the rights to both of his movies, so because they did a new interview with the director on this and everything like that. So yeah, pretty sweet package. It's kind of but that's the one thing about Vinegar Syndrome is these three movies alone feel like they should never be on Blu-ray.
Totally.
But
yeah,
it's one of those things where Vinegar Syndrome does. These movies are kind of hard to find for the most part.
Yeah. Noah, hi, buddy. You're silly.
Hey, Dad. Are these shoes on mine?
Yeah. Yeah, Noah, what's up?
No, be careful. Don't wear mommy's high heels, please.
He should review Nightmare Weekend.
All right, let's move along here. But I'm so glad I got these three movies, man, because I was going to kind of pick and choose, like, which one was I going to get, and now that I've watched all three of them, like, I couldn't imagine, like, not having these in my collection.
Yeah.
Let's move into... Going to do Nightmare Weekend or Frightmare?
Nightmare Weekend.
You are about to enter the 21st century of terror. Nightmare Weekend. A group of college students were invited to spend a pleasure weekend in a mansion, but instead experienced a Nightmare Weekend. Nightmare Weekend. The first high-tech terror film. Witness an experiment so frightening that it will never leave your mind.
Die!
Experience a lust for power so gruesome that you may lose your mind. When modern technology gets out of human control... The action never stops. Nightmare Weekend. It's the first high-tech terror film. Nightmare Weekend. The 21st century of terror. Rated R.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Nightmare's my favorite.
See, I think I just about had the opposite, but, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
This movie, 1985, directed by Henry Sala. This movie's incredible. This is like,
That's what you want to call it.
It's just it's definitely a what the fuck is going on in this movie release, because
I think to like define really quickly. Like how batshit crazy this movie is. The security system in the movie is ran by a puppet.
Yes, a puppet.
Like it's like a nightmare gone bad.
And it's not really explained because in the first few minutes of the film, in the opening segment, all of a sudden you see these flashes of this puppet, and I was like, I had to like look at the cover to be like, am I watching the right thing? Like, did they splice in like some Sesame Street nightmare, drug-induced nightmare into this film. But yeah, it's the operating system is a puppet.
But the best part is like the only backstory you get with the puppet really is that when she's talking to her dad, and she's like, you patent 200 things. 212, actually. And it's like, wait, do you make all this shit? And it's like, yeah. And, dude, just that car sequence when she gets the fucking
when she's playing that, she's playing this video game, you know, some, you know, 8-bit video game or whatever. And for some reason, the computer can also, when a certain thing is left on, it can control outside things. So all of a sudden, she's controlling this woman's car who seems to just kind of shrug it off, you know?
Yeah, it's
she almost dies via remote control car by this computer, and she just kind of gets out and kind of just shrugs her shoulders and moves on. But this plot, if that's what you want to call it, is all over the place. You have so many things going on. So you got this really crazy OS, puppet OS. You got this really...
Who's telepathic, by the way.
Right, telepathic. Has a connection with this girl, this young, innocent girl. Her dad's this weird inventor-type guy.
Is this what they thought computers were going to be like in 1985?
I guess.
It's like this like fucking computer scientist like has all this shit, and it's just like somebody really liked Terminator.
And even Terminator has better computer technology, you know?
Well, I know. It's like – it's because it's like – Well, they're made to – the program is made to take the personality of bad people and change it. is what you would say?
Yeah, so that's the setup. Is this that's what this scientist guy or whatever has been working on, some sort of behavior modification thing. This other woman, his kind of it seems like a business partner. She wants to move the trials along into human testing.
With the women, with the girls.
So they basically invite these girls to come stay at the mansion and therefore
– Come stay at the mansion.
And therefore they would somehow, you know, without the girls' knowledge, test this somehow – this behavior modification thing. And on the way, they keep stopping in at this bar.
Lots of sex, by the way.
Ton of sex in this film. This was –
There's a lot of sex.
It felt like a Skinamax.
Noah, what's up? He heard sex. He heard it. Yeah, what sexy you talking time. About?
He's going to watch his iPad.
But all the sex sequences in this movie are so fucking funny.
I was watching this over my lunch today, finishing it up, and my wife is in the other room working out, and I like praying that she does not walk in, because these are like extended Skinamax love scenes. You know, they go on forever.
And it seems that it's all improv with dialogue, because there's even that one sequence where he's like, you really liked it, didn't you? Yes, you give me everything I need. Oh, man, you're great. And it's like,
great.
What? Like, you just boned and this is the conversation you're having, but you're still like kind of dressed.
And one of the first boning sequences is like, they're all like parked along the side of the road, and the guy has a friend slash the limo tires so they can stop, and him and the girl just go at it in the back of the car, the limo, and windows down and everything, and everyone just kind of shrugs it off. Meanwhile, this guy with a Walkman tucked into the front of his pants is just dancing like a maniac pretty much the whole movie. Walkman guy. I don't even know his name.
Walkman guy? I don't know, but the one thing is funny in this is that the only like bigger star is Dale Midkiff, who he's been on a lot of TV, but he's the dad in Pet Sematary. You know what I'm talking about?
I couldn't place any of the actors in this one.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, he's done a lot of TV, but he's in Route like 666, but yeah, he's the dad in Pet Sematary.
Okay,
Pet Sematary is not that great of a movie, but he's in it. But anyways, I think this was probably one of his first movies. That's the only recognizable person I could remember.
Yeah. This is one of those films, I think, that has to be seen to believed. I mean, you can hear us talking about it and everything, but it's I would recommend this movie pretty much to anyone who loves anything batshit crazy. It's bad, but it's super enjoyable.
It's just a weird movie.
Like. I think just the weirdness of it and how many different directions this plot goes.
Well, it was also distributed by Troma.
Okay.
I think it's one of those things where it's not Troma made, but you know, Troma back in the day, you know, when they were a very successful company, they bought a lot of movies. And the rights to them, and then they released them over time, which was a common misconception of it being a Troma movie, and it really truly isn't. You know, most of the films that they bought were like, you know, French made or Canadian made that, you know, made its way over here eventually, and they bought the rights. So this is one of these things where it's never had really a good release, mainly because Troma DVDs suck. because all they use is VHS transfers, and they only like sometimes use VHS transfers for their Blu-rays. I think it's definitely one of those. I mean, it fits that mentality of like kind of Troma's like, you know, outlook. It's just not as, you know, Because every time I think of trauma, I think of sperm. I think of sperm.
Well, you think
sperm
of like green blood. Green ooze and toxic yeah. toxic Avenger. Yeah.
So like it's not like that. It's just no. like everything is mixed in this movie.
It's a like, it's a smorgasbord.
Sex, horror, technology, comedy. You know, it's just all mixed into this weird technology, you know, gone wrong horror film. Which, yeah, it's kind of remarkable how this really got made in a way that this script was that somebody read it and was like, man, this is really good.
I have a feeling it was supposed to be a porno, just from the amount of these sex really? Scenes. Because they go like there's one where it feels like is your because the girl is fully nude down on the ground and it's she's on her knees and it's like I felt like if this was a porno you would zoom up and pan up and there you go let's go to town and do this you know it had that vibe you know where this could have totally been a porno at one time and maybe they cut it down you know. Cut it down to get a bigger release. I don't know. No, not cut it down, but I mean cut the script down. Like I had this had to have been in somebody's smut well, script collection
it's
somewhere.
I don't know. It's a French. It's made by French people.
And, well, that explains it right there.
Well, no, I think that's where it comes across is that this would be normal. In France, and then Americans would be like, man, there's a lot of sex in this movie. But nudity was something that was embraced. It was like watching like kind of a, you know, maybe if Tinto Brass made a horror film about technology.
Yes, yeah.
When he totally. Was like 15, this is probably what it would
Yeah, because it doesn't go the full-on Tinto Brass, but it's close. Like it definitely has that feel, because the scenes just, they just go on for just that tad, you know, a minute or two longer than they should,
yeah.
You know, and with the app, like, and there's at one point I'm like, how many sex scenes are going to fit in this last 30 minutes? You know, because it seemed like they were just dragging on, but it could have been because I was just hoping my wife wouldn't walk in the room at some of these points.
Well, who's the director? Let's see what else he's done.
Henry Sala.
Doesn't sound like a real name. See if he's done porno in France. Because that could be it.
Select Pornographique, 1982.
Is Say Adult on IMDb?
Yep, sex hardcore.
Well, there you go. He's a porno director that wanted to make... Well, I mean, because, dude, that's what a lot of these people did. You know, a lot of horror film directors ended up directing gay porno or just straight porno. A lot of them are gay porno, which is, you know, kind of the norm. So then they branch out. But I think that goes hand in hand with what we were talking about last week with mm-hmm. Mark and Josh. You know, with the gay community being so you know, especially gay men loving horror so much, maybe that's kind of that same crossover, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean this looks like his only non-French film as well. So he stopped his last credit on IMDb anyway. I mean, this could be an assumed name for sure. But
yeah, but I'm just saying, like, so most of his filmography beforehand was porno. So that explains kind of why there's so much, like, almost needless – trust me, I do need it in the movies – but so much needless scenes of sex and just kind of drawn out. And some of it is really steamy. It's really close up. It's not shot like a horror film sex scene. It's shot like a porno, and you get a half chub.
I was about to say that's some reason.
Get a half chub shot.
Half chub, totally.
Get that half chub,
totally. And I'm not even gonna pretend I didn't.
Don't even pretend it, because I felt it. I felt it in my heart that you had a chub in L.A. or California, wherever you live.
Yeah, I don't know, but a Nightmare Weekend is something that you all need to experience for sure. I was worried. What was that other film? What's the film with the worms? The worm farmers?
Squirm?
No, with the worm farmers, Vinegar Syndrome put out.
Oh, Runaway Nightmare?
Runaway Nightmare. I was hoping this wouldn't be another Runaway Nightmare.
You gotta give that movie a chance again. That movie's awesome.
Well, no, that movie's hilarious, but I mean, I would prefer Nightmare Weekend over Runaway Nightmare, hands down. because there's a little more entertainment value in Nightmare Weekend, just because it's just so crazy.
I pick Runaway Nightmare because this has definitely been on DVD and VHS for a while.
Okay.
Runaway Nightmare was kind of lost.
Well, that thing is its own magical thing as well.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, man, with these titles, Vinegar Syndrome's hitting it out of the park. So let's move along to Frightmare.
Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and Konrad Ragtsov. All stars who lived and died, but only one came back.
Let's steal his corpse.
Hey, let's take the body back and show it to the girls.
Konrad, I always wanted to be your bride. Where did you go?
Went into darkness, then into flames. Then I came back. You brought me back.
If that's where you've been, then send them that stole your body there too. Send them into the flames. Burn them. Burn them. Burn them.
My favorite. I've talked about Frightmare on the show countless times.
Yeah, this was 1981.
Yeah, so I was super stoked about this one. I wasn't a fan of either artwork on either side, because artwork that I'm so familiar with is that fucking knife through the
skull. Why didn't they use that artwork? Was it
so
the right
good
thing? Because that's like, that artwork is totally awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. But this movie is like, this movie is a calling card for every horror fan out there. Like, this is the perfect movie for every horror movie fan. This is also known as the Horror Star. It's about this group of kids that have this horror film society group at school. And, of course, they sit around and want, you know, enjoy horror films. You don't see any, but that is obviously the exposition.
Well, they had posters everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's – they had a lot of cool posters.
Idea.
Yeah. So they have this actor whose name in the film is Konrad Ragtsov, who is very much like a Christopher Lee, mm-hmm. Vincent Price character. Actually, the footage that they use of him because there's clips of the actor when he was a lot younger in movies, but it's actually footage of Christopher Lee.
Oh, is
the guy,
it?
Yeah, the guy looks like Christopher.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So it was kind of sucks that they couldn't actually – they probably really did try to get Christopher Lee for the movie, because that's who this guy's portraying.
It totally feels like a Christopher Lee performance.
So yeah, you know, very abstract, very fun. And this guy that plays this movie, though, is just – he's so great, because you could just – like it truly felt like he loved playing that character. Very much like in Fright Night, Roddy McDowell's character, mm-hmm. like he's just really churning it out. Like, he's really enjoying every moment he's on screen. So he's this, you know, one of the biggest names in the past few decades of horror films. He's, you know, elderly now, probably like in his 70s. And after his last movie, he passes from, I guess, a heart attack.
Well, he had this whole plan where he wanted to – he knew he was getting old, and he wanted to kind of either go out in style or trick everyone and kind of retire. Like, he wanted to kind of fake his death in a way, so he hires this director guy, or his director is going to – I guess he's telling this director, give me a good performance or give me a good burial or whatever. But then he pretends to die and lays there, and then meanwhile the director starts spouting off all this crap about how horrible of an actor he is, or how much he hates him and everything. And then this guy's eyes open, and he kills this director. But we've already seen the opening scene is basically him shoving some extra or some gaffer or somebody.
Yeah,
he's obviously killing people. So here I'm thinking, he's going to fake his death, but then he actually really does die. And
yeah, well, he's like into like kind of black magic and shit anyway. So he has this plan to rise from the grave to begin with. So, but in this horror film society, these people that really love this guy as a odd, really weird prank, they they steal his corpse from this mausoleum and take him home and have dinner with his corpse and party.
Yeah, make out with his corpse.
Everything. Yeah, so you know the night goes on and they have some fun. And they put him up in the coffin, and then his wife notices, you know, is obviously it's known to her that his corpse is missing.
Right.
So she goes to kind of a fortune teller who plays a fucking killer performance. Her eyes are the creepiest fucking thing. Like, I was watching, I was like, man, this woman needs to be in more movies because she is fucking terrifying. Rises from the grave, and you know it's funny because it starts off kind of like this old like 40s 50s like, you know, Hammer heavy fog movie, but then once he resurrects it becomes like this supernatural slasher of the 80s. Which I thought it was a good, I think it's a really cool blend of two different like eras of filmmaking. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like it's from, you know, even the cinematography of like how it's lit, and you know, it's just that mist and fog that's all through those scenes.
Yeah,
I think it's a great setup. And once he comes back, I mean, you have this old man as a ghost that is fucking slaughtering these kids, which is a lot of fun.
It feels like. Kind of like Scream, and then like he knows you're alone. It feels that there's a meta aspect to this film as well.
Yeah,
you know,
totally,
like it's definitely poking fun at the horror genre in a way, which you know, having these kids that are horror fans in the film, like so it's operating on this other meta aspect too, and even to the point where. These kids, like, they have all these opportunities to get away from him, you know, but they just hang around. It's like they're just waiting to be killed.
Why wouldn't you want to hang out with your favorite horror star?
I don't know. Like, they just sit there and watch him come towards them, and they scream. It's like, dude, keep on running. Yeah. And, I mean, that most notable, I think, when Jeffrey Combs, when he meets his fate, you know, that guy could have gotten away so many times, but... was this one of Jeffrey Combs' first films? He's pretty young in this.
He's very, very young. His death, though, is fucking epic shit, though. Yeah. It's really fucking good. But,
yeah.
You know, another thing which I want to point out to people, because they really wouldn't know, is I actually forgot about it until I saw the name pop up. But there's one of the lead actor, really... I forget his name in the film, but his real name is like Luka, like Berkanovicki or something like that. Well,
Luka
he's like the
Berkanovicki.
Yeah, he's like the director of Ghoulies.
Oh, really?
And shit. Yeah, he's just a young kid.
Yeah.
But he did Rockula. He did this fucking crazy ass movie called The Granny. But anyways, he's also a big, you know, a bigger actor, you know, in the, I don't know if he plays in Ghoulies though. I don't think he is in Ghoulies, but he plays in a lot of,
horror
films.
He directed Ghoulies. That's awesome.
Yeah. He directed Ghoulies. He's in, Scorpion Release. He's in Space Raiders. So he's a familiar face.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a lot of fun. Cause you know, you get to watch. Because obviously that character, he's playing himself more than likely, which is what roundabout I'm trying to get at. Because I mean, this the young kid that loves horror films. He's directed horror films. He's in horror films. He writes horror films. You know, so it almost feels like, I think that's why the film feels so close to home. Is it feels like a film that I would have wrote when I was like 15. You know, I think there's just a lot of cool aspects. I mean, there's also those posters. And they don't talk about horror films all that much because it's also very funny that you mentioned the meta thing because there's also that sense of, like, they're all sitting on the stairs and be like, have you seen him? No. You should go down to the basement. I'm not going to the basement. I'll go to the basement. It's like, if you guys – you have horror film – posters next to you right now, like, aren't any of you gonna just say, look guys, this happens in the movies,
right? Yeah.
You're just expecting it, but they never want to cross that line because they really don't talk about horror films. But it's also like, you dumb shits, like, if you love horror films so much, why the hell are you staying in the house?
Well, like, that's exactly what I'm saying, is like, yeah, they should have known better in so many of these instances here.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought I don't know if it's because I was tired or whatever, but I was watching all three of these films. But this one out of these three dragged in the second half more than the other ones for me. Just for me, I don't know if it's just because it was so late. But
I don't know. Dude, I think the setup and the build up to the film was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
because I mean, I guess they drag out the kills, but
well, that's
I think
what I'm saying. I'm like,
I think that's more fun of kind of this Christopher Lee-esque character of kind of just how creepy he is. And he's actually very, very good. And he plays the role really well. So that's what I'm saying. Like, watch, it's a very enjoyable film on the line of being a horror fan. I think there's that extra, there's an extra oomph in it for me. Like, you know, I can relate. That's why I've always kind of liked the film. And watching it again, you know, I haven't watched it in a little while, you know, maybe a couple years. And this film has always looked really, really terrible on VHS. And this is another film that Troma picked up and gave the worst. Just look at the fucking cover art for Frightmare on DVD by Troma. The fucking worst. So anyways, you know, it's never really had a good release. And the film is very kind of, because of the cinematography, it is kind of blurry. You know, it's very worn down.
It has a soft feel.
Yeah. So, like, this transfer is definitely one of the selling points and high points for this film. And just a great fucking, like, three movies, you know, a triple feature. I think that this would be, like, perfect for any, like, hardcore horror fan that likes weird shit.
Oh, this would be a great, like, show these three, have, like, a triple feature with a bunch of friends over and some drinks. Like, these are party movies. Like, all three of them. There's
yeah, maybe start off with horror show, then get up to Demonoid, and then end with Nightmare Weekend.
Yeah, close it out with Nightmare Weekend, because that thing...
You are going to have more friends than you could ever imagine, and you also might get laid. Because by the end of the night, if whatever girls are in the room watching Nightmare Weekend...
Totally.
Everybody's going to get horny.
Totally.
Just saying.
I know that that Demonoid and Frightmare have new 2K scans, and they're restored. I'm not sure about Nightmare Weekend. I don't see anything on the box about it being restored by them. It says it is fully uncut and widescreen for the first time. But do you know in talking to them if all three of these were restored by them, or
I'm on the fence of Nightmare Weekend. I didn't know about Nightmare Weekend. I mean, it definitely looks good, but I know it's a film that has really looked awful through the time, so. Here, let me pick it up. Here.
It doesn't say on the box. The other two, it says new 2K scans. It doesn't on this one, but
it does not say. Well, it does say. Actually, it says here, long available only in low quality transfers of the rated R version.
Yeah.
This is uncut and widescreen for Blu-ray. So I don't know. I mean, that's something to definitely. I mean, this is by far one of the better ones that looked up, but they sport the 2K, 4K scan a lot. So being that they didn't put it on there, I wonder what they used.
Yeah, I mean, for what it is, man, it looks damn good. And that's the thing, like, all three of these look way better than they should, you know? I mean, like you said, like, Frightmare's a little bit soft, but I think that's just because the film stock they used. Like, I don't think there's anything...
Whoa, Noah, are you okay?
No, it's a restored in 2K from the 35 millimeter inter negative.
Okay.
Pancake.
So
hold on, Noah. What are you asking for?
Noah, what's up? What are you saying, bro?
You want what?
He wants baby cakes.
Hold on, Brad. Don't talk. What do you want, Noah?
Do you have pancakes?
Pancakes.
It's 7:15 in the evening, and he's asking for pancakes. We don't have pancakes, buddy.
Oh, you're a liar, Sean.
They're in the box. I gotta whip them up and cook. Do you want me to take a break for the show and feed my son pancakes? This kid is eating so much food tonight. He shouldn't be hungry.
He's gonna make big poops, dude.
So, anyway.
So this is restored from the 2K internegative.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It's weird that they didn't put it on there because they definitely wanted to put the original theatrical trailers. Which is kind of weird they didn't put the 2K scan on there.
Huh.
Vinegar Syndrome, you might want to think about that. That's the selling point. This is almost like the back of... here, I'm going to crack on Vinegar Syndrome for a second because I always suck their dicks. Like the old DVDs. Interactive menu. TV interactive spots. Menu.
DVD ROM script.
It's like original theatrical trailers. Who really gives a shit? Put that on exploitation TV and like tell us what kind of scan it is. Yeah, it's even on the other side, it doesn't say like what the fuck. It doesn't say anything. It just says thank God it's Monday, and then killer weekend with the interview with the producer. Alternate R-rated cuts, which is I guess important. English subtitles. What the fuck is wrong with you guys? Like fucking 2K scan that shit. So, but anyways, yeah, all are scanned from either the negative or the original, two of the original, one from a 35mm negative, one from original negative, and then one from the internegative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all top-notch work. I mean, if you have any idea who Vinegar Syndrome is and you've picked up any of their Blu-rays – this will, I mean, you already know kind of what you're getting into. And yeah. And that's the cool part. Yeah, they might not be great movies by any means, but it's so cool to pick these up and think, like, if you would have told me that I would be holding Frightmare on Blu-ray that wasn't a Troma DVD repackaged for a Blu-ray, I would have never believed you. So, and Runaway Nightmare, come on. It's just a great, you know, group of horror films, and hopefully they keep turning these out because this is the type of shit that I really like, and I think is a lot more fun and easy to watch and just really laid back. It's just a really fun time.
Hold on one sec.
He wants pancakes.
Now he wants lemonade, but he can't have lemonade.
Why? Because why? He only wants one lemonade.
Noah, go ask mommy. Go ask mommy.
He knows she's going to say no.
I know.
God, you're making her the bad guy.
I'm trying to do this podcast.
You got to leave all this in. This is what we go through when we record. So people maybe would be like, man, Sean and Brad really work hard
yeah,
for us to listen to their bullshit.
We'll leave this in. Fuck it. So when I got these three films as a part of the when I paid $100 for the exploitation TV.
Yeah.
These also came with the Executioner Part 2 and then Murderous Intent and Fright House. So I haven't dug into
Frozen
those.
Scream.
And Frozen Scream. I haven't dug into those yet, but I think I will be digging into these very soon, so I'll be definitely going to be talking about those in the next few weeks here.
Now, I know you can get Executioner Part 2 and Frozen Scream on DVD.
Right. Yeah, the Blu-ray was limited.
Yeah, the Blu-ray was limited, which is really cool because they actually numbered how many they sold or how many they made, because I think it's like 550.
Yeah, 550.
And then 560 for the DVD. As far as I know, the DVD is not. That's like a one time deal.
Oh yeah, this the Murderous Intent and Fright House.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna throw those on eBay, and make billions of dollars.
Dude, you gotta see Murder of the Emerald Seas. How much it's worth now?
God damn it! That's the one frustrating thing about limited. Anyway, but dude, like movies like this, having Raw Force on Blu-ray. I mean, just this little kind of weird group of films that they've put out is just so awesome to have in my collection. And like, these are the types of movies that I want to start collecting. You and I have talked about kind of moving our collections partly digital and things like that. But
you know what's something really cool? This is what's really cool about Vinegar Syndrome is they told me this story when I was at Spooky Empire. During the Black Friday sale, it was kind of a mess for them because their website shut down, you know, too many people on it that shut down. But the one thing that they said that really, really, like, really stuck with me, and they said it, like, really quickly, like, they just skimmed over it, like, oh, that's what we do. I don't know if anybody else would do this, is that they were selling Murder on the Emerald Seas on their site. And if anybody knows what Murder on the Emerald Seas DVD, I think there was only 500 made, and it was only for Cinema Wasteland. So it was kind of a tougher title to get. They were only selling it there, and the remaining DVDs would be sold online. They oversold Murder on the Emerald Seas by 3 copies. So those motherfuckers took their own personal copies and sent them out.
Wow.
Like, they literally do not own their own movie on DVD because they gave it to the people that bought it on that day.
That would be a tough choice for me.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but it's a tough choice, but like...
That's awesome.
Like, how? I mean, obviously they have the print, they can watch it whenever they want, and they obviously have a digital copy of it from the scan.
Is that one up on Exploitation TV?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So you can still watch it. I mean, it's the whole physical media, like, let me have it now.
Yeah.
Murder on Emerald Seas is a sexploitation movie with a killer clown on a boat. It's really insane. Like, it's an insane movie, and it's so much fun. But yeah, definitely something you can... look up and enjoy. I think it's on Exploitation TV, which is funny because not all their films, like, you really have to pay attention because the Exploitation TV, I don't know if people are going to think, oh, I'm just going to watch that now. A lot of their films won't be on there. Well, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of their films will not be ever be on Exploitation TV due to rights issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're thinking about watching The American Dreamer on Exploitation TV, you'll never see it on there.
Oh, that didn't make it on there, huh?
No.
And I know we had some people asking about that.
Dude, I fucking, like, sold 3 of those copies at fucking Spooky. I sold that shit so hardcore.
It's awesome. People need to own
that.
Dude,
it's like, it's literally probably the best thing I've seen this year that's old. Like, an older film, like, New Discoveries. It's by far my number one.
Yeah.
Like, I love every second of that fucking thing. And they're very proud of it, too, which is really cool. But such a really bizarro batshit fucking documentary.
So American Dreamer isn't on there, but that other one we covered,
Some Call Lovin',
that one is on there.
Yeah. So nice. Cool.
Nightmare Weekend cool. is on Exploitation TV.
Nice.
I know that because I was at lunch, I had to watch it on my digital device, as opposed to, because I didn't want my little guy seeing boobies
and
stuff. So I went to Exploitation TV to finish it, which is nice. I like having the combination, you know?
I like having your combination.
Ooh, yeah. All right, cool. So these three titles come highly recommended for sure. Grab them. Let's jump in to our two segments that we didn't get to last week. Let's start out with our stream screams.
Yeah.
Nate, wake up!
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
Don't fucking scream at me!
Scream, I'll bring you back.
Don't scream, miss. Don't scream.
All right. I thought that I had seen that today. Stream screams. We were talking Ghost in the Machine.
Ah!
man in a car accident may have been the killer they've been hunting for the last 3 years.
5 seconds, the total scan.
What is it?
This storm keeps surging the power.
We're losing him. He's dying.
Come on!
Last night, a killer died.
Where the hell did that go?
His body was laid to rest. But his soul...
That's impossible.
...has come online.
This is gonna be fun, Terry.
Who is this?
I'm killing your friends.
Looks like there's someone else in there with us.
The killer died in this hospital. And it was plugged into your computer.
And yep. I thought that I had seen this film, but I think that I got it confused with The 13th Floor.
13th Floor? There's another movie called, like, Machine and the Ghost or some stupid shit like that. So that,
yeah,
that could be,
yeah, there's another one called Ghost in the Machine. Wait. Yeah, I don't know, man. But I thought that I'd seen it, but I hadn't. And this one is available on Vudu. To buy it, I think it's like $13, but you can rent it in HD.
Which HD, is, though. Which is fine. Fucking H. Ghost in the Machine is on HD. That's what you really have to factor in here. Because fucking Ghost in the Machine was a movie that I saw, I mean, I was like 10 or so, and this movie just fucking blew me away. It's about a computer technician who is a serial killer who kills people by their he's known as like that
address book killer.
The book, yeah, the address. Mm-hmm. I was going to say telephone book killer. But yeah, the address book killer who I'm trying not to give it. I mean, he obviously...
Well, he steals people's addresses, books, or finds them, and he starts going down them and just kind of whatever names he finds in order just starts knocking people off.
Yeah. Well, he dies. He gets transformed into electrical energy, and he becomes a killer through electricity and
through
machine.
Dial-up.
Yeah, through dial-up. Yeah. So it's just... I don't know. It's always been a film that I've always kind of been attached to, mainly because I was... It's more nostalgia for me, but also watching it again, and I haven't seen it in, you know, I don't know, a few years, I would say. At least 10 years I haven't seen this movie, and watching again, it still holds up. I mean, it has its quirkiness with the special effects, you know, because it's like 93, it's just kind of getting into, you know, computer effects. So yeah, a lot of it looks cheesy. But for the most part, like it is very suspenseful, I think. And it's got a great cast between Karen Allen and Jessica Walter, and then the one kid from People Under the Stairs. I can't remember his name.
Oh man, this kid.
No. What's the little kid's name?
Is it Will Horniff? Will Horniff? Josh?
No, that's not his name.
That's the kid, right?
I'm talking about the kid from People Under the Stairs. The black cat. The black kid.
Oh. Well, the main kid in this one is Will Horniff, who's in The Sandlot.
I don't need that information.
Brandon Quentin Adams. Frasier.
Brandon Adams. Please, there Frasier. You go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, just it's got a decent cast, and that babysitter, Jesus, she's so fucking cute. That was like a highlight of my day, was watching this movie and watching the babysitter sequence.
Dude, that scene is awesome, and it totally took me back to being that age.
Yeah.
You always just wish you had that one hot babysitter, and you always would wish that you can get that sort of little, you know. You can negotiate those sort of terms. Babysitter striptease.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
that seems great.
But it also has some really, like, terrifying sequences, like the pool.
Like, yes,
the
man.
Tarp. Dude, yeah. like that actually traumatized me as a kid, because we would have this, like, roll-over tarp. Like, it wasn't a machine, but, we would just get in the pool... And we would flip it. Number one, I was scared that I was going to drown. Like, I was going to fall into it, and it would just, like, cover me. And the other part was like flipping it over, what's under the pool? You know, because we would get in the pool and start grabbing it and then slowly roll it over while we're in the pool to the other side.
Yeah.
And fucking a few times there is a fucking lizard or a fucking roach or, you know, a fucking dead body that just popped out of nowhere that right. scared the shit out of me. So I don't know. And just seeing that come to you and you can't really get away from it. And, you know, I always say I'm thinking of double features. Perfect fucking double features, Lawnmower Man and Ghost in the
yes.
Machine.
Hell yes.
Such
this
a good
totally
double feature.
Feels like this totally.
It feels like a Lawnmower yeah. Man spinoff.
Yeah,
is,
totally.
Is what it does. So, but such a, you know, such a great film. And also Shocker would be another
yeah.
good,
definitely do a triple feature, throw Shocker in there.
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just one of those like kind of thrilling movies of the 90s. And watching again recently, it's like, man, this movie really does hold up. And I also want to focus on, because I'll be writing an article, hopefully it'll be later this week, that it will hit. But this is also directed by a female, by the way, by a lady who also directed Tank Girl and Freddy's Dead, one of the Nightmare on Elm Street sequels. Yeah, so like this lady, Rachel Talladay, something like that. Talele, something like that. I don't know how to say it.
It looks like Talele, Rachel Talele.
Is it Talele?
Yeah.
Rachel Talele. So anyways, yeah, fucking Ghost in the Machine, Tank Girl, and Freddy's Dead. Like, how much of a resume do you fucking need for that?
That's all I need.
Jesus, like, here you go. You get to direct anything you want now. So, sadly enough, she didn't do a lot. You know, she got into television. She really didn't go back into horror. She just had this, like, I mean, those three films, I mean, Freddy's Dead, other than, because I think Nightmare on Elm Street, then Dream Warriors, and then Freddy's Dead. Those are my three favorite.
Yeah, a lot of people Nightmare hated Freddy's Dead, but I actually had fun with that. I think that one got a lot of shit.
I actually liked that one quite a bit.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan of it. I mean.
Yeah. But this movie alone, I think it really stands out for when. You know, females direct horror films, because it's one of those things where, you know, we're so into the now where there's a large group of males that are like, you know, this is our thing. You know, females can't like it, which I think is kind of the most ridiculous response ever, because I think it's just super hot when, you know, girls are really into horror films. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you hear BJ talk about, you know, horror films, she becomes like, you know, even more attractive than she already is, you know, so it's just, you know, a really cool thing. And, you know, we're kind of getting into the point now where we're paying attention to like Jessica Cameron, Tristan Risk, we're paying attention to female directors, you know, like Jennifer Kent from the Babadook, you know, the Saska twins, Karen, Kusama, who, you know, did Girl Fight, and now, you know, she did The Imitation. Now she's doing the, you know, the XX the female horror anthology.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, Alexa Carolyn, who's also directing horror films now. So, you know, we're so used to that, and we're like, you know, it's something to also pinpoint. It's like, hey, you know, a female directed that? You know, a woman directed that movie? I think that's something to say, like, oh, yeah, that's awesome, you know, because you just don't expect it, because we're, you know, the horror industry is just so saturated and so male-dominated. I think we need to, you know, point out when a female has taken charge and done something.
Yeah, well,
but I think
women can produce, you know, even more, you know, disturbing and hardcore horror films than men can, because if you just think about like the body horror that a woman goes through in her lifetime,
yeah.
You know, with if a woman has kids or things like that, but just I mean, there's so much more a woman's body goes through than a man's, that it's like, I'm surprised there's not more like body horror type films, you know,
yeah.
directed by women, because it's like
we have some, but
yeah.
not a lot. I mean, we had like American Mary,
right?
You know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like women have it in them based off, you know, just what a woman goes through. Like they can really turn in some some fucked up shit, you know. Yeah. And I welcome it, you know.
Yeah. And another thing, we're very aware of the females that are directing and writing and films today. But one thing I really think we're forgetting is the films that were directed by women back in the day. Because
mm-hmm.
I think there's kind of this misconception of, like, all those movies were by males. And it's not. I mean, some of the, like, more notorious horror films out there are directed by women. Which is really, really, nice. Like, you know, I think it's a breath of fresh air when you find, you know, not saying that, you know, Ghost in the Machine is, you know, oh my God, a woman.
it's no classic, but it's fun.
Like, in Nightmare on Elm Street, like, mm-hmm. one of those sequels was directed by a woman. That's pretty fucking cool. You know, the Slumber Party Massacre movies were all directed by women.
Yep.
You know, Ravenous is directed by a woman. You know.
Holy shit. I didn't know that.
Right. Yes, but see, that's like your response right there. I think that's, you know, basically an all-male cast.
Yeah.
And very, like, testosterone-driven. Like, that's actually directed by a female. So I think it's a really fucking cool thing. So, you know, it's I'm really excited about writing the article because I have a long list of, you know, a lot of research. And I was even surprised by a couple. I was like, man, I didn't know that. And that's really fucking cool.
Awesome.
So get into more detail with that. But back to Ghost in the Machine, definitely kind of a new wave of, like, you know, technology. Another movie, Technology Gone Wrong, which we just talked about, American Nightmare.
Yeah, totally.
Just a really fun, like, you know, because in the 80s, we didn't know the turn that technology was going to take. So when the 90s turned and all the new stuff was coming out, we didn't know what it was going to
be. Well, I think the internet was huge, and especially with – I mean, this – I'm trying to think.
And then we had like Y2K that was happening. So that was another internet scare. Now we just don't even care.
Yeah, we don't give a shit anymore.
You know, it's like we embrace the new change and differences. But there was like those three like major scares of like what is going to happen. Like, are we going to have like robots in our house giving a shit? You know, is fucking Skynet going to take over? You know, is a serial killer going to be able to kill me through electricity like in Shocker? So...
Yeah. What did you think? Because I think – I'm trying to remember how old I was in 93, and I think around that time
I was – It shouldn't be that hard for you to figure out.
Well, I was in my rap phase, I think, and it brought me back, man, to when I was getting into rap at that age. I think I was about maybe the same age as the kids in it. But you know, he's rocking like Public Enemy, but then I look back, and this was probably filmed, I'm imagining, like in 1992, so if it came out in 93. Yeah. So I'm looking at, like, the rap songs, like, the Billboard charts for 1992. You got, like, that was the year, like, Criss Cross Jump came out, you know.
Well, that's funny.
Gangstar, EPMD, Rex and Effect, Rump Shaker. So it's, like, all these, like, that was,
John
like...
John Connor wears a Public Enemy shirt.
Yeah, yeah. But seeing this kid, you know, this suburban white kid trying to embrace this rap persona, you know, was kind of a lot of fun. And then... It just took me back to me being this Iowa kid trying to be into rap, you know. It's pretty hilarious. It hit a little too close to home. I squirmed a few times. I was like, oh God, you know. Yeah. When he tries to hit on the girl, was he just trying to hit on the babysitter? Right.
Oh, babysitter's so cute. so many memories.
Yeah. But it's pretty good, man. And they get the digital effects, like, they're for what they are. I think they work.
Yeah,
and
they do.
You know, but they're not that good. But then again, like, they're not like Mortal Kombat bad, you know. And I feel like
Mortal Kombat 2 bad.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat
2 original bad. Mortal Kombat isn't that bad. Mortal Kombat 2 is one of the worst things you'll ever see.
I mean, they're pretty basic and rudimentary, but you know, I mean, it works within the context of the film. And you know, I always love seeing Karen Allen on screen too. I think she's really fun to have in the film as well. But I had a lot of fun with the man. I ended up just buying it because I was like, I have no idea when the hell this will come out on Blu-ray. So I was like, well, I'll just grab it because I'll definitely be rewatching this a few times for sure. I would love to do a triple feature a double feature for sure with Lawnmower Man and
Shocker. Yeah, if you want to push it, definitely Shocker is the triple. So, but anyways, awesome. Yeah, pick it up. It's on Vudu to rent or buy.
It's probably on
X.
Yeah, so anything you can purchase if it The thing that why I like Vudu is I know for sure that it syncs up with Ultraviolet. Like if you buy things in iTunes or through Amazon digitally, I'm not sure if they sync up with Ultraviolet or not. And I like Ultraviolet thing. Make sure it syncs up to any you know compatible type service. So that's why I always use Vudu. All right, cool. Goes the machine. Let's move into our video. Oh my god.
Nikki.
Well, here we are at last. Right where we ought to be. Video.
Oh my god!
Video, my god!
Dude. This is an epic show. All these movies we're talking about, you guys. Like.
Yeah. And the movies we are talking about are, like, pretty much all great. But this really takes the cake.
The new American hero.
Go!
John Stamos is Stargrove.
Stargrove!
Vanity is Donja. Gene Simmons is Ragnar.
Yeah!
Never Too Young to Die, rated R.
Never Too Young to Die. You mentioned, I know that Brian Sauer is on the show, and you were talking about it. Now I remember looking up the actress. What's her name?
Vanity.
And I remember seeing the scene of John Stamos and Vanity on the deck of the house that they're staying at.
Oh, God. It's such an awkward scene. It's like two, you know. 10-year-old.
I don't know how many apples he wastes, too. He keeps grabbing apples, taking a frustrated bite of the apple, and then throwing the apple down.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But, see, I had no idea what kind of movie this was. I thought this was just some weird, like, you know, comedy or you know, with John Stamos. I didn't realize that this was some pseudo-action spy flick.
Oh,
you know, with John Stamos and Vanity playing this kind of badass spy chick, and the violence that would ensue. You know, I was not prepared, I think, for the awesomeness of Never Too Young to Die.
But it's also very much like it feels so adult, and it also feels like a little kid.
Well, yeah, like that scene is like straight up written by like a 15-year-old just discovering chicks.
But then you have a transvestite.
Yes.
You know, lead Gene Simmons, Velvet Von Ragnar.
This could be my favorite Gene Simmons performance ever.
Dude, this is such. All right, so the premise of the film is that we have the worst James Bond and one, the only, like, the guy that played James Bond once, George Lazenby.
Yes.
Plays Stargrove, who's I forget his first name. So, anyways, Drew Stargrove is a special, secret, top-notch, awesome agent, basically James Bond, and he's murdered. Spoiler alert.
I don't think that's a spoiler. That's the plot setup.
So we have, you know, high school, which is somewhat college because they really never say he's in high school, but he's obviously in high school. But they try to make it like college because he has like a dorm, but he's obviously just rooming with a buddy.
Yeah.
He is a gymnast, is what his thing is. So, but he finds out that his dad is a secret agent. So he teams up with his dad's sidekick, which is Vanity, to go after this Velvet Von Ragnar, who's going to poison the water supply through a floppy disk.
Of course.
Which is – it's like the whole idea is to get – this, like, how big are those floppy disks? Like, they're the big ones, like the old Oregon Trail floppy disks.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, 1 kilobyte is what's on there. But this one disk, they're going to put in this supercomputer to poison a water supply. So somehow.
The disk is the red herring of the film.
This disk contains a virus on it to poison water.
People understood computers.
Which is, mind you, going to be the person that needs it is Velvet Von Ragnar to give to Robert Englund, who plays the computer expert.
Oh, shit. I totally forgot Robert Englund was in this.
Robert Englund is the computer guy.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's also kind of in this, like, pseudo, like, apocalyptic world. Like, everything is normal in Lance's life and in Stargrove. His name's Stargrove, and they have a theme song for Stargrove.
Stargrove!
So he goes to school, has a normal life. But on the side, every time you see Velvet Von Ragnar, it's Mad Max shit.
Total Mad Max.
It's like, where is this coming from?
He has, like, multiple layers, I feel like.
Yeah, he has these layers, but in what part of the world is this all happening?
New York, man. Where else? Where else would this happen?
It's just, it's like apocalyptic, and it's not, it's futuristic, and it's obviously, you know, weighed down by what we know of today. But, and there's also some tit biting, which I won't get into, but there is some titty biting in this movie, and it is fucking great.
Gene Simmons has tits.
Dude, Gene Simmons plays a, like, war, like, transvestite.
No, he's not transvestite. He's a friggin' hermaphrodite.
He's a hermaphrodite?
Yeah.
No, I thought he was trans. No, he's
total hermaphrodite.
So he's a hermaphrodite who dresses in high heels and stockings and does it very well, by the way. Yeah. A performer, singer, dancer, warmonger.
Multiple talents.
Yeah. So not alone do we like to dress up in ladies' clothes and prance around and do these awesome songs, but we're also trying to poison the water supply and take over the world.
Yes.
So, such a fucking batshit movie. But
this is so fun. This needs a Blu-ray release. This needs to be readily accessible to everyone.
From front, like from the very beginning to the very end, it's just nonstop laughter and just a good time.
Oh, yeah.
And did we mention John Stamos? Did we say that yet?
Yes, we've said John Stamos.
Oh, okay.
This is my favorite John Stamos role, actually.
Like, what else is there? Full House? So, John... Lori Loughlin. He got to be with Lori Loughlin. I just think of, like, envy John Stamos so much. He had Vanity and Lori Loughlin.
He's a good-looking guy, though.
He is. He's a good-looking guy. I mean, this is, like, in his prime, you know?
Damn him.
Playing this, superhero gymnast. And that's the thing is, like, I'm a gymnast, but then all of a sudden, I'm really good at spy shit.
Yeah, like all of a sudden he knows martial arts.
He uses the gymnastics part every now and then, but then he just becomes like this superhero.
Yeah.
But the continuity is terrible. It is just a batshit crazy movie. Like, obviously, they pieced this together with what they could, but the editing wise, whoever edited this movie, I think they knew what they were doing because they just made it so much fun. The movie doesn't drag at all.
No.
You constantly laugh. It is such a fucking fun time. John Stamos is so charismatic and so likable. Vanity is beautiful. Gene Simmons plays a great villain. The action is fantastic.
It's brutal, too. And people, like, fly across the room.
It gets really brutal at times, like, when the bloodshed happens. That's what I'm saying. Like, it feels like a rated R movie at one point. But then it also feels like a kid's movie. It feels like Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
This is like Three Ninjas meets Road Warrior.
Yes.
That's the best way to explain this movie. Fucking Three Ninjas meet Road Warrior, totally. Because, like, you watch it, and you're like, man, this is something I would watch when I was 12. And then you're like, oh, man, I would never watch this when I was 12. It's too violent.
Yeah, my parents wouldn't let me watch this.
So, my God. But it's another one of those movies that doesn't have a DVD release at all. It was released on VHS once by Charter. So, you know, I don't know how much the tape is.
Who owns the rights to this thing?
I don't know whoever picked up Charter. I don't know who that is, though.
We need to do some research, people. We need to track this thing down, and
I'll look it up right now.
We need to get
I ain't scared, dude.
I mean,
Ask me if I'm scared.
We need to get somebody to release this. Are you scared?
No.
Would Vinegar Syndrome touch a movie like this? It doesn't really touch
the horror stuff. I mean, no. They release anything that's weird.
You know, if they release Raw Force, they would totally do this.
Yeah. Distributed by Paul Entertainment. I would guess that this is owned by probably the filmmakers, and then if the filmmakers are still alive, of course, owned by them. If not, their families.
Hmm. Okay.
But yeah,
at least it's not friggin' Lionsgate.
I don't think it's because the only company I know to ever release this movie is Charter Entertainment. Yeah. But I don't know. I can't remember seeing any titles that were on Charter's label that have ever made it to DVD or Blu-ray.
Huh. This thing is this thing is ripe for rediscovery, for a resurgence. I mean, it is so much fun, and I watched it on YouTube, and I'm like, this would be a fun time if you had. Imagine even if you had a DVD quality transfer, right? Like this thing would be
fucking $25.
This thing would bring down the house if you were having friends over. And
I've showed it to groups of people, and it goes over very, very well.
It's just super, super entertaining. It's
another way to describe it is that you have kind of the writing of Three Ninjas with kind of the setup of Mad Max, but you have action spy stuff like Andy Sedaris movies. So it's like all of those.
Perfect.
It's a perfect like batshit like action spy movie.
Oh yeah. Super enjoyable. Yep. And dude, I want that song. I gotta track down that song. The opening song of this film. Stargrove. This would be a good, speaking of double features, this would probably be a good double feature with Gymkhana.
Gymkhana would be a good one.
Totally.
So I'm looking up all the titles on Charter Entertainment. So they're definitely buyable because Crime Wave was released on Charter, and that was picked up by Shout Factory.
Hmm, okay.
The Mac was released on Charter, and that was, I think New Line or WB picked that up.
Okay, so there is hope.
Oh, man, the fucking Quest is Charter. Oh, man, the Quest is so good.
With Van Damme?
No, it's also known as Frog Dreaming and the Go Kids. It's it's a kid's kind of horror film.
Nice.
Oh man, Cocaine Wars. I'm looking at all the tapes.
All right, we're gonna get down a rabbit hole here, but we gotta start wrapping up, man. All the movies we've talked about today, man. This is track. If you track all these down, you are gonna have a blast watching these, discovering them. They are all. I think most of them are fun movies to watch with friends. I think you can get some enjoyment out of Ghost in the Machine with some friends. It's definitely the least batshit out of all the movies we've talked about today, but it does have its moments, especially with the kid and his obsession with 90s rap. Some laughs there for sure. But
God Told Me To was all right. So this is good news because God Told Me To, that's Blue Underground, Dirt Bike Kid, that was Scorpion.
Okay.
So. It looks like unless they were bought back from the filmmakers, there's a good chance that these are kind of up for grabs.
Well, somebody needs to get on that shit. It will make this thing will make some money, guaranteed.
Nashville Girl, that was another Scorpion title. So something tells me that this is probably doable. So I'll be working on this.
Go forth, Brad.
I send you into the great unknown. This is going to happen for us.
Nice.
So
we'll start our own label just to make it happen.
Hopefully there is.
No, I don't know if I have that much
in existence.
Brain power to do that.
Get me Stargrove! I want Stargrove!
Stargrove!
I think that's going to do it for this week's show, man. I want to give a huge shout out, of course, to our sponsors, to Coffee Shop of Horrors. Go to coffeeshopofhorrors.com. Enter in Screamcast when you check out. Grab some of their coffee. Legitimately.
Grindhouse Videos back up.
Awesome. Legitimately, like, all our sponsors we are fans of, and we actually spend our own hard-earned cash on. So we're not just, we're not paid off by any of these these people at all. So Coffee Shop Horrors, check them out. Grindhouse Video, order some movies from them. I believe he has these films. He carries a Vinegar Syndrome, correct?
Yeah, if you go to shop, he has – it's actually really cool. He has all his sorry, I almost threw up. he has all his distributors separate, so you can just, like, pick Vinegar Syndrome.
Cool.
It looks like his Vinegar Syndrome Blu-rays are relatively about $17.95.
Okay, that's not bad.
These aren't listed yet, but I imagine they'll be around that, maybe about $20. So keep an eye out for it if you don't, because if you're not going to buy out, go out and spend these right now. Maybe you'll wait on the next paycheck. Maybe they'll be up there. And then if you use, what's our code?
Shit. What is it?
Screamcast10.
Screamcast10.
Yeah, Screamcast10 of the coupon code, you get 10% off your order at Grindhouse Video. And I'm actually looking on here because he took it down, but like he has Vinegar Syndrome titles for like $12.95, $13.95.
Yeah.
So he's got some pretty good prices. And like I said, it's pretty easy to like navigate because, he has even filmmakers like from Beelzebub, Dustin Mills, like he has all those separate. And, you can click on, like, Scorpion Releasing. So if you don't want to buy from Bill, if you don't want to buy from Code Red, like, he carries these movies, which is pretty cool. So you don't have to worry about
dealing. You actually get the movie
to you.
You
actually get your movies. And a fairly decent – what's your turnaround time when you've ordered from him?
He's pretty fast, man. I mean, I've actually been – whenever I order something from him, I just drop him a line on Facebook, which he's – you can go to facebook.com/grindhousevideotampa.
Yeah.
And
his,
I would
– Mike – was it Mike Sandlin?
Yeah. But you can drop him a line
Mike hates me, so he's just going to give me a reason to hate him.
You can drop him a line on Facebook, too. He's really good about getting back to you. Tell him you're a Screamcast listener. You heard about him on the Screamcast. I'm sure he'll sling you the deal. It's not 10% off all across the board. I think if you spend a certain amount of money, I don't know. I think it's like $50. Don't quote me on that. So I don't have it up right now. But
I'm looking at here. He has like Spasmo. He has Space Raiders, Short Eyes. All those are limited editions, people. Like those are all limited editions by Scorpion Releasing, so get on that because those aren't going to be around for forever. He has also Harlequin Blu-ray, which is out of print.
Oh,
so,
nice.
And Flavia the Heretic, which is another out of print Blu-ray. So he has the stock. So just keep an eye out. But yeah, it's really cool. Like he also carries SRS Cinema stuff. So if you ever know about those guys. Those is like a company owned by like the filmmakers themselves that put out their like old movies on DVD and Blu-ray.
Sweet.
And they're extremely limited.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see free shipping on orders of $50.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like I've done most of my ordering just from Mike himself through Facebook. He's really easy to get a hold of. He's really on top of things, and normally either that day or the next day, he's shipping it out, and he'll send me a picture of the tracking number. I've also ordered online. The turnaround time is very, very quick on there as well. I mean, this isn't Amazon.com, so it's not like, oh, two-day shipping or day shipping, But I like that when I pay for my movies, I'm helping him out, that I'm supporting this business. And I kind of feel better about it, even if it's a couple bucks more. I feel like I'm actually supporting something, and you're helping.
Well, if you want these places, because not every Amazon doesn't have a lot of these films. Like if you go on there and you search through his stock, a lot of these aren't carried by Amazon.
Right,
they're really only carried by like him, Diabolic DVD. And if you want more places like this, support it because other people will see that it works.
Yeah.
Same thing with your local video store. If you live in a town that actually has a video store, go to it because it will survive and then others might open up if they are following that certain formula. So
yeah. Yep. I love it. I mean, I love looking through, and this it kind of is, you know, the closest I can get to perusing a store because I you know, things are kind of constantly kind of moving around on his, the web store and things like that. He's getting new stuff in, and that's the thing too. Like he gets a whole bunch of used stuff. So if you drop him a line on Facebook, if you like their page, whenever he gets new stuff in used, he'll post pictures of the stack and you can drop him a line and say, hey, I want this, and this.
Yeah. That's another thing is keep an eye out for his Facebook. I didn't even think about
that. Yeah. It just makes it fun. It makes purchasing movies fun again, as opposed to just, oh, I want this. Let me go to Amazon. You know, part of being a collector is kind of finding the deals, finding hard to find movies and enjoying kind of the search for these movies. And it's kind of, when you support smaller companies like this, you know, you're really, it for me, it brings back kind of the fun of it. And I don't know. So
yeah,
it's all about the experience, I think. So cool. So. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Like I said earlier, but drop us a line over at the Screamcast, thescreamcast.com. Our email is readme@thescreamcast.com. And, you know, we were going to do a drawing, but we only got two emails. So I don't know how you want to do that, man.
Whoa.
We got two emails. Do we want to extend it another week?
How about this? How about if we extend it another week, but we also incorporate, you don't have to tell us a story. Just show us a screen cap of your purchase of Copy Shop Horrors or Grindhouse Video, and that will automatically enter you in the contest.
There you go. So if you've bought something from Copy Shop of Horrors or from Grindhouse Video, drop us a line email us a screenshot of your
or Facebook it or Facebook, Twitter it, whatever. You know, one or the other, personal Facebook, whatever, and you'll be entered in the drawing.
And what I'll do,
make sure you mark out your information before you.
Yeah.
Do so.
So I'll enter the two emails into the drawing. It kind of got a little personal, so I kind of got some emails after the fact saying, hey, can you maybe not read mine? Because it got a little personal. So we'll add these two emails in, and we'll go from there. But we want to give you guys a chance to win some shit, so you got to participate somehow.
Yeah, and it's good shit, too. It's not like, you know, we're giving away a fucking Screamcast coffee cup.
Well, we are, but
I know it's a joke.
And some coffee and a movie.
It was my joke.
It's readme@thescreamcast.com. I'm trying to fix the contact form on the website. It seems to have shit the bed, but our email address is up there. If you go to screamcast.com/contact,
two things people couldn't find that shit.
I'm thinking that could have been it too. People couldn't email in, but I had the email address up there. I don't know, but. Anyway, drop us a line. We'll extend this another week. We want a good number of people, so it's the odds are, you know, so it's a little more fun. So, yeah, that's about it. All right, we're on Twitter, Scream_cast. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you guys for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. Party's just begun.